You know, I want to talk about something that it's a subject that is, it's something that we need to learn how to handle, and it's called stress. It says that statistics say that many people deal with it. It is the subject of, it is the subject of stress. It causes physical, mental, and emotional strain and tension. Now, you know, many people are dealing with that in our world that we live in. Our society is facing so many pressures and so much demands are put on us. An article in the American Psychological Association in 2011 said 44% report their stress levels have increased over the past 5 years, concerning about money, work, and economy topped the list of the most frequently cited sources of stress. And that was in 2011. So you can imagine what it, that was 44%. You can imagine what it is today. It's a whole lot more than that. Statistics from about stress from the WebMD.com website says 43% of all adults suffer adverse health effects from stress. 75 to 90% of all doctor's offices visits are stress-related. Stress can play a part in the physical and mental problems such as headaches, high blood pressure, heart problems, diabetes, skin condition, asthma, arthritis, depression, and anxiety. Now, that's from just recent on WebMD.com on the website there. Anybody ever heard of the term OSHA? Yes. Occupational Safety and Health Administration. They declare that stress costs the American industry more than $300 billion annually. Now, people try to deal with stress in the natural and you know, with physical exercise and meds, prescription meds, and the list can go on. And it's good to do what you can in the natural, but we have access to spiritual help as well. You know, we should do what we know to do in the natural to relieve stress, but we should incorporate spiritual truths in our daily lives. We need both the natural and the spiritual in order to deal with stress. And many of you know my saying, the natural and the supernatural coming together make explosive force for God. It's not all natural. It's not all supernatural. But when you put them together, you got something going on. Now, let's look in the Bible and see what is said. David acknowledged the reality of stress and pressures in his life in Psalms 119:143. I sometimes read from the New King James, sometimes from the NLT, the New Living Translation. Makes it. Sometimes I'll read from the Message. I'm going to read here from the NLT. Psalms 119:143. I'll give you a chance to turn there. I think they're supposed to put it up. I hope they do. David was saying here, as the pressures and stresses bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. The Message Bible says it like this. Even though troubles come down on me hard, your command always gives me delight. Here, David is implying that he deals with stress by going and seeing what God has to say. Right. He delighted, in one place he says he delighted himself in the Word of God. So the number one thing we need to do when we're facing stressful situations is to delight ourselves in the Word. Have you ever noticed that when you're in a chaotic situation, if you just begin to quote the Word, it begins to settle everything down. I know through the years, I've been doing this 61 years, but through the years, in doing memorial funerals or memorial services that, they used to call them funerals. Now they call it a memorial service. That may be a better term far as I'm concerned. But anyway, I would notice when people were very highly stressed and emotional, when I would start reading from the Word of God, everything would just settle down. Anybody else ever notice that? I know Brother John was a minister for many, many years. Did you ever notice that, Brother John? You could start reading the Bible. And there's a peace that comes from the Word of God. Okay? You know, actually, stress can actually have an impact on you so that you are overwhelmed. You know, in the parable of the sowers in Mark 4:18-19, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world and deceitful riches and desires of other things enter to choke the word and become unfruitful. In other words, they heard the word, but because of all the cares of life and everything stressing in up on top of them, it nullified the word. They let the word slip from them. I like the Message says it. The seed cast in the weeds represent the ones who hear the kingdom news, but are overwhelmed with the worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get done. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it. You cannot allow stress to get inside of you so much that it nullifies the Word of God. Now, living a stressed out life actually is detrimental to our spiritual growth, and it affects us spiritually also. Now, let's see how that we can live above stress. Now, I don't know about you, but I live in a stressful situation all the time. You know, I mean, we've got, 247 Bible schools in 51 nations. I've got about 4,000 people in our Rhema Ministerial Association. We got the Kenneth Hagin Ministries that does the television, radio, our books, and then I go out on the crusades. Then I got the church. I mean, I just don't have one entity that I have to deal with. I mean, we deal with it all. And you know, Lynette and I not as much as her. Her and Denise do it more than I do. Deal with, you know, we have 200 employees there at the ministry and the school. And so we have, there's stress. And any of y'all in leadership in your job, do you find out that there's stress? Anybody find out there's stress? Yes. People can be very stressful on you sometimes. And sometimes you look at it and you say, my soul, don't they know better and do something like that? You know, but that's just the way it is. So God wants us as Christians to learn how to live in a way that we're not totally stressed out. You know, some Christians have no peace because they're always full of fear and worry. They're always worrying about something. I mean, there's some people, you know, now they're Christians, they're born to grin, but every time I see them, they're always talking about, well, I don't know. I mean, this happened and this happened and this happened. And they're always in fear and worrying about something. There's always some kind of drama going on with them. And if you talk to them, they want to tell you about the latest crisis that they've had. But they just don't want to do a short version. They want to give you every little minute detail. Anybody ever met anybody like that? You know, now, as you look at Moses had some stress. And I'm going to read from the Contemporary English Bible in Exodus 18:13. Now, the next morning, Moses sat down at a place where he decided legal cases for the people, and everyone crowded around him until evening. Jethro saw how much Moses had to do for the people, and he asked, "Why are you the only judge? Why do you let these people crowd around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered, "Because they come here to find out what God wants them to do. They bring their complaints to me. I make decisions based on God's laws." Jethro replied, "This isn't the best way to do it. You and the people who come to you will soon be worn out. The job is too much for one person. You can't do it alone. God will help you if you'll follow my advice. You should be the one to speak to God for the people, and you should teach them God's laws and show them what they must do to live right. You need to appoint some competent leaders who respect God and are trustworthy and honest, and then put them over groups of 10, 50, and 100, and 1,000. These judges can handle the ordinary cares and bring the more difficult ones to you. Having them to share the load will make your work easier. This is the way God wants it done. You won't be under nearly as much stress, and everyone will return home feeling satisfied." Now, you see, under the old covenant, only the prophet, priests, and kings were anointed, or the king. Now, Moses was anointed by God to do the job. Now, we that are born again and spirit-filled, we have the Spirit within us. We can ask God ourselves. We don't have to go through some man. But you notice in the Word of God, even the king, even though he was anointed to do his job, they still asked the prophet about what they should do, whether they should go fight or whether they shouldn't. So here we see that Moses is trying to do more than any one person can handle. He was overworked. He was trying to help. And so Jethro, his father-in-law, as he is watching Moses do all this, he said, "Man, this is not working. Moses is stressed out. He's not able to function properly in his position as the leader." So he gave him the way to get some stress off of him. See, we have to learn how to handle our work, which causes stress for us. You got to learn how to delegate, not try to do everything yourself, instead of getting help that we need. And what I mean, well, what some people do, they wait till the last minute to do something. This creates unnecessary stress. Trying to do too many things at once. My dad used to say, "Son, don't try to be a jack of all trades and master of none." He said some ministers, they get so involved in all of the details that has to be done with the church and with the ministry that they're really no good anywhere they do. He said, learn how to have people under you that you trust. And this is what Jethro told Moses. See here, he said here, competent leaders who respect God are trustworthy and honest. You see, that'll help you. Then trying to do things above your level of knowledge instead of getting a hold of a professional. You know, and we're all guilty of this sometimes. You know, we'll try to fix something that we're really not competent to do it. And when we turn around and we get it in a bigger mess than it was to start with, and then we have to go get a professional. Anybody ever been there besides me? Oh, I got some help in here tonight. My wife said, "Why didn't you just go call somebody to start with?" Well, I thought I could do it, you know. Nah. Hey, I'm talking about us living our life, our Christian life down here. God said he wanted us to have life and have it more abundantly. Well, you can't have abundant life if everything's pushing in on top of you and you're stressed out. And sometimes we cause our own stress by trying to do it ourselves when we should get somebody that really knows how to do it. You know, now I used to go work on cars because I grew up, you know, whenever you could work. But now I don't even attempt to mess with a car because it's all electronic. My grandson, he went to school for mechanics, and he's in charge of all the vehicles. That bus that's sitting out there, we got, I don't know how many of those shuttles, daycare and different ones. But you know what? I'm not going to attempt to work on that thing because it's all electronic. He's got a machine he plugs in there, and he starts punching codes in. And then that tells him what's the matter with the car. Used to, we had to figure it out. How many of you worked on cars back in the day when you got to do the troubleshooting yourself, figure it out, you know? But they got all this electronic stuff that tells you. And then besides that, if you try to work on it yourself, you can really mess it up. I heard about a guy, he thought he could do it. He messed it up so bad that they had to take his car and put a new computer in the thing for about $5,000. And if he would have took it to them in the first place, might have cost him $500. Come on now. See, and he was all stressed out about it, but he brought it on himself. What I'm saying is that many times we bring stress on ourselves because we don't get a hold of somebody that knows what they're doing. You know, the truth is, stress, it comes to us in a lot of different situations. But you know what? We can change the way we handle it, and then we're not under that pressure. One person said, it's not the stress that bothers you, it's your reaction to it. You know, the American psychologist William James said, the greatest weapon against stress is our ability to choose one thought over another. So, if we are going to live stress-free, then we've got to take control of our thoughts. The Bible talked to us about that. See, there's several things that we need to focus on and think about. You know, it says to control your thoughts. Okay, you need to begin to think God's word, not the problem. Think God's word. He said he would keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That's Isaiah 26:3. And in NLT says you will keep in perfect peace all who trust you and whose thoughts are fixed on you. Thoughts. See, you can start thinking about something, and the more you think about it, the bigger the problem gets. And it's really not that big of a problem, but the more you think about it, you become stressful and then eventually get into fear. And then we got 1 John 4:16 in the New Living Translation says, we know how much God loves us, and we can put our trust in his love, in him. God is love, and all who live in love, live in God, and God lives in them. Stress cannot rule your life if you continually think on the word of God. Now, I didn't say it wouldn't come. I didn't say you wouldn't have it. We all do. But as you dwell on what God's word says, then that keeps fear and worry and stress from tormenting you. You know, somebody said, well, did you hear what so-and-so said about you? No, I didn't hear about it. Well, they said so-and-so. Don't that bother you? No, it don't bother me in the least. Because I'm not going to think on those things. In Philippians, it tells us to think on other stuff, not to think on that. See, quit thinking about the stress and thinking about the problem and start thinking about the problem solver and the stress reliever. That's God. That's the word of God. That's why you got to have that. See, if you don't control your mind when you're in a stressful situation, it will get you. You'll get into fear. You know, we see Paul on his missionary journeys. He had plenty of opportunity to get in afraid and have anxiety. But he said in Romans 8:15, you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's spirit. And when he adopted you as his own children, now we can call him Abba Father. The J.B. Phillips translation of the New Testament says, nor are you meant to relapse into the old slavish attitude of fear. You have been adopted into the family circle of God. You can say with a full heart, Father, my Father. And then Paul says this in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. When you don't think God's thoughts, when you don't think on the word of God, you don't have the word of God coming out of your mouth, then you get into fear. Come on now. Man, stuff comes at me all the time. And I immediately say, I'm not given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. When you are operating under stress, you can't make a proper decision, either spiritually or naturally. But if you get a hold of the word here, God, we're not given a spirit of fear. You know, the New Living Translation says, for God not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. Uh-oh, people don't like that word. That means you got to bring your thought life under control. Paul tells us that in other places. The voice says, you see, God did not give you a cowardly spirit, but a powerful, loving, and disciplined spirit. See, Paul understood who he was in Christ. Of course, we know that from reading his epistles and all of his writings. He continually thought about himself in Christ. I love to teach the in him realities. That's my favorite class to teach at the Bible school, because when people find out who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, and what they can do in Christ, they're not going to be stressed out. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. No weapon formed against me can prosper. I can't go under for going over. Come on now. See, we boldly stand against fear. You know, David, he had many opportunities to be afraid. But listen to what he said in Psalms 27:1. I'll give you a chance to turn there. I hope you're writing these down so that when you get stressed out, you can go back to these. Look at this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. David knew that God was there. God would protect him. See, fear is an open door to let stress in. A lot of stress is built upon fear. Now, just in one of the last crusades we had, Anthony, Kadeen, me, Lynette, how many of us was it? 14 of us got on the elevator after the meeting. After the meeting, we'd all had food there at the church, and we'd come back to the hotel. And that thing starts off, and it stops. It was overloaded. Now we're about halfway between floors. There's about 3 feet this way and 3 feet up that way. I pulled the door open a little bit. I kept telling them, don't panic, settle down, didn't I? Because some of them were getting, you know, nervous. I said, stay calm. Everybody stay calm. Don't panic. Of course, in the Army, that's the first thing, one of the first things they train you in. Don't panic in any situation. If you do, you'll get yourself killed. You know what they say, Marine? That Marine back there, don't panic. Don't care what's happening around you. Don't panic. If you panic, you'll wind up dead. because you will not, you'll make a wrong decision. I kept telling her, how many times did I tell everybody, just settle down? Multiple times. Yeah, we were in there almost 2 hours. It got really started getting, in fact, I was thankful I had on a good black t-shirt, and I was starting to perspire, and I went up taking my shirt off, and it was starting to get some stuffy in there and some of the people, and it tried to attack me, but I said, I'm not going to give in to fear. You know? And so I kept telling everybody to be steady, be strong, we'll be all right. I mean, because I believe that. And they worked and worked, tried to get the door. It had two doors. I had one of these back doors. You ever been in those elevators? It's got two doors, one that the service people use, they come up through the front. And so they couldn't get the front open. They went upstairs and they reset the computer, I don't know how many times. And finally they said, well, we're going to have to call the maintenance man and we don't know when he'll get here. And it was already, midnight. So he probably wasn't coming at all. Well, I thought, relax, it'll be all right. Just relax, we're going to make it, we're all right. We finally did get that front door opened up that they could handed us some cold water. And then some of the people, because when they get it, we got pulled them thing open about like that, wasn't it? And some of the people, they would get up there and where their face was get a little bit of air. I said, it's going to be all right. We were so crowded in there, nobody could sit down. That's how crowded we were in there. We could hardly move. But you see, that was an opportunity to get stressful and to get in fear. But I allowed my thoughts not to think about our condition, but to think about God will get us out of here. Amen. And we did pray. Some of them were praying. I was praying under my breath. And then in between, I was trying to keep everybody calm, and they finally got that back door open. And they were holding it open. And I told them, hey, get out of here. Go, go, go. Because I didn't know how long that door is going to stay open because it's really not supposed to open. And man, I said, jump, jump. I mean, it's about as far from here to the floor off of this table, wasn't it, Anthony, about that? I said, go, go, go. I'm up here, and I'm by the front door up here, and I'm trying to get them people out. Go on, get out of here, because I didn't want that door to close back before I could get out of there. And so, but I'm making sure everybody gets out before I get out because, I was keeping everybody calm. But you see, fear opens the door to let stress operate. And some of them, we had to keep them calm because fear began to work on some of them. And I told them, just steady, stay steady. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. Everything going to be fine. Didn't I? Yeah, man, Lynette was there. You see, a lot of times stress, now we were in, it was based on fact, but a lot of times stress from fear is not based on actual facts of a situation. It's just something the enemy brings to your mind. Oh, you know what? This could happen. That could happen. This could happen. You start thinking on that instead of thinking on that God is your deliverer, God is your rescuer, God is your resource. Sometimes they come on the TV and they talk about the economy and people say, oh no, I'm going to lose money. And hey, it may happen and it may not happen. I'm not going to let anything stress me out. You can ask my wife. I don't let stuff stress me out. Do I, hon? I had a great teacher. He had the same name I do, Kenneth Hagin. Anybody ever heard of him before? I think most of you have. In fact, One time my mother said to him, said, Kenneth, if me and the kids died, I don't think you'd get upset. He said, what's the reason to get upset then? He was that way. But he let nothing. And he would say to me, son, don't let things and problems bother you. Keep the word of God foremost in your mind. What God said. Refuse. And another thing we can do is refuse to think about tomorrow's problems today. He would say, live each day with what that day. In fact, my wife says that she was being concerned about the next day in the future and so forth. And the Lord came to her and told her, hey, I give you grace for today. When you get to tomorrow, I'll give you grace for tomorrow. But you see, some people worry and are so concerned about tomorrow's problems that they can't even deal with today's problems. See, Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. New Living says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today. See, many people compound their problems by worrying about tomorrow. And the Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. Every day I practice this on each day at a time, and I focus on one thing at a time. I deal with this, then I deal with that, I deal with that. This helps me get through a massive amount of paperwork and problems and situations that are always generating. You know, I have paperwork coming across my desk. I have personnel problems and so forth. Then I get a call on my phone, all the pastors out there, Rhema pastors and others have this phone. They'll call, Pastor, I need some help. I could allow all that to, but I just take each thing at a time and accomplish that. When you start trying to think about everything at once, that's where you get stressed out. Don't stress yourself out about the future. Most fears about tomorrow would never come to pass anyway. Anybody getting anything out of this? I'm trying to get you to realize that God does not want you to live a stressed out life. You know, if we're overly concerned about tomorrow, we will not sufficiently focus on today. Now, the same God that helps you today will be the same God that helps you tomorrow. Now we come to another one. Here, if we're going to live stress-free, we got to learn to cast every thought and worry and care on the Lord. David tells us in Psalms 55:22 in the New Living, give your burdens to the Lord. He will take care of you. He will not prevent the godly to slip and fall. Then Peter talks to us in 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Amplified version of that says, casting the whole of your care, all of your anxiety, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Then the J.B. Phillips New Testament says, you can throw the whole weight of your anxiety upon him, for you are his personal concern. You know, some people are always afraid about what's going to happen. Often they'll say, I'm greatly concerned about this. But what they're really expressing is worry and fear. These kind of people need to get a new understanding of how much God cares for them. He cares for you. You see, it says cast. Now, any of you ever got a fishing rod and reel in your hand? You cast, right? Cast means to throw away. But when you cast the fishing lure out there, you roll it back in, hoping to get something. But when you cast your burdens, your anxieties, your fears on him, leave them there. Don't pick them up. You know, when I was in basic training in the Army, we were doing all these forced marches and everything, and we had to, I don't know what they do now. This was 62 when I was doing my training. I was in from 62 to 65. We had a pack, and we had a shelter half over that, and I had my rifle and my steel hat pot on. They got those fiberglass ones, I mean those carbon fiber ones now. And then I had this ammunition belt around. I had ammunition. I had first aid, and I had a little shovel on there and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, you're all weighted down and you're marching. But, man, all of a sudden they'd call a halt, and you could slip that pack off. Man, I did. Whoa. Boy, it felt so good. But when they said formation again, you got to pick that thing back up and put it back on. There you go. I've seen a lot of people come to the altar to leave their burdens on the Lord. But when they leave, they pick them back up and take them with them instead of leaving them there. Cast means to throw them on them and don't worry about them. Don't be concerned about them. He cares about you. He will take care of you. God wants to take care of you. Think thoughts that will help you. Now, this is the fifth thing. Think thoughts that will help you rest in the Lord. We're supposed to rest, not be stressed. Isaiah 41:10. All of you probably know and you probably read it. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand, with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those that were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those that strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Some people are stressed out by the things that are happening around them. Hey, I'm not going to worry about what's happening around me. My trust is in God. I am not going to fear. I'm going to keep my thoughts on him. I'm going to rest in him. People get stressed out because change comes. There's always going to be change. Hello? People get stressed out because of what somebody else does. Hey, it's not my concern. I'll pray for them, but it's not my concern if they don't live right or if they don't believe right. I can pray for them. I can talk to them if they allow me to, but I can't. I've seen people get so stressed out. Oh, you know, so-and-so. Oh, I'm just so upset. They're doing this and they're doing that. As pastor, all these years, I've had people say that to me. And I tell them, hey, that's not your responsibility is to pray for them. And if they'll let you, then talk to them. But you can't be stressed out over what they're doing. You can't control their life. But I see Christian people all the time getting stressed out over some other person in the church or some or their friend and what they're doing. They're so stressed out over that that they're messing their own life up. Hey, I can't control what somebody else does. I can pray for them, and if they allow me to, I can speak the word to them, but I can't control them. We each have control of our own lives. So we need to start, like Isaiah says, rest in the Lord. Think about the great God that we serve. Think about his great and precious promises that he has told us. You know, think about his love for us. Think about the Holy Spirit, the greater one that lives inside of us. Says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Think about the power that he's given us through our authority to use the name of Jesus. and speak to the storm. See, if people will determine to resist the thoughts of fear, if people would be determined to stand and cast their care on the Lord, and then take a minute to rejoice in the Lord, come on. You'll find out that you're gonna be able to live stress-free. I didn't say it wouldn't come to you, and I didn't say there wouldn't be stress, but you don't have to be stressed out. That's what I'm trying to say, because you can take the Word of God and capture every thought, right? Cast down imaginations. How many of you have ever had the enemy come to your mind and start giving you all kinds of things that could happen, right? Anybody been there? I have many times. I immediately say, hey, I cast that down. That's not from God. That's not, that's not a God. I cast that down. Think, he said, if anything is pure, so forth and so on. Think on these things. Think on what the Word of God says. The Word says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. The Word says that I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Come on now. More than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror, more. You know, the Apostle Paul said, none of these things move me. Why? He wasn't going to get stressed out when they kept telling him that he was going to run into trouble when he got to Jerusalem. He said, none of these things move me. Why? Because he knew God. He knew what he was doing. God told him what to do, and he knew that he knew what to do. None of these things move me, he said. Then he goes on in another place. He says, I live and move and have my being in him. You see, we need to learn how to move and live and have our being in Christ, and let the Word of God be coming out of our mouth against every circumstance, against every fear, against every situation, and you won't be living under stress. You'll be living under rest. Heavenly Father, I've just talked to these people for a few minutes tonight to help us all to realize that we live in a world with stress. But if we'll follow you and stay with you, we can live in a world of peace, even though stress is all around us. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I never like to preach a message that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or for somebody to rededicate their life to God. There's a lot of people that started out following God, but now they're just not where they need to be, and they need to rededicate their life. Anybody like that in this place right now? I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We believe in the Holy Spirit around here, according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. It said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? If you'll come forward, if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to come on down here right now. Everybody stand. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, come on now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Come on down. Praise the Lord. Bless you. Stand right here. Bless you guys. Thank you, Jesus. Reach your hands out toward them as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that every spiritual need in these lives will be met today. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen. You see, Glenn and Heather here, I want you to go with them to the prayer room. They're going to pray with you and make sure you got what you came for. We'll go right ahead, right now. Father, this is Glenn and Heather. Just take them right there. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God for these. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody need prayer for healing tonight? I'll pray for you. If you want prayer for healing, come on down here right now. If you need prayer for healing, just stand right here. She's standing there for Wayne. All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you. As Peggy stands in for Wayne, I thank you that healing power flow into his body, raising him up in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you right now.
I injured my neck when I fell.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that this neck will become normal. All the injury from the fall, I thank you that it will be healed now in no pain, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you right now. I rebuke these tumors right now in the name of Jesus. I curse every one of them. They must wither and die and leave in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I thank you for this back. Be healed. And this sister, Father, we pray for her. This breast cancer, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, this grandson that has the bump on the eyelid, we command that to go. We command healing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Put your hands and thank God for everyone that's being healed by the power of God. Amen and amen and amen. Well, next Sunday night right here at 6 o'clock, come believe and come expect it. Shake hands with people. Go out there and fellowship. I think they got some brownies and some lemon bars and some other stuff out there. And get some coffee or tea. Lord bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.